reading today is Psalm 16. So if you want to open your Bibles or your apps and join along, read along with me. Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Thanks, Lara. Good afternoon. Great to see you here today, particularly since it's a beautiful day out there that we've been enjoying. Will you join with me as we pray before we jump into this great scripture we have before us? Lord, I just want to pause and just thank you for this day that you've made, and just thank you for the recreation we've been able to enjoy outside, hopefully, over the last couple of days. And I just pray now as we come to your word and just let it soak over our lives, that you would do a work of recreation in us today also. Lord, that you would transform us and you would mould us and that you would make us to be more like your Son Jesus through what we learn from Psalm 16 today. We pray that you would do this work of recreation in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to move this so I don't knock over microphones and kick microphones. So 2 weeks ago, I actually spoke on Psalm 91 as we looked at, that was what we called the prayer of rest, and how our hearts might actually find peace in the midst of life's troubles and challenges. And today in Psalm 16, we actually come back to a very similar place, although here a little bit broader, as we consider this prayer for security. And the question we come with, or at least I come with as I approach this passage, is how do we find certainty, or how do we find a foundation for our lives amidst the constantly changing and often volatile world that we live in? And speaking about finding security in this life, Tim Keller, he says, there's actually nothing in this world that will last that won't be shaken. He says it's fleeting, it's precarious, and it's temporary. Bit of a doom and gloom reflection from our friend Mr. Keller. I think he needs a bit of a hug at this point, but we'll come back to him near the end. But what he's actually highlighting here is that many of the things that we put our trust in and our faith in are actually very shaky when it comes to providing real and lasting security or certainty for our lives. And as part of that insecurity we feel is that things are changing so rapidly in the world around us. With many of those things that we used to rely on, they are quickly disappearing or not providing the reassurance that they once did. And just a couple of examples. When it comes to employment, it used to be that there was a mutual commitment, wasn't there, between an employer and an employee that could actually last for many years or even decades, or for some, an entire career. And now increasingly workers are being employed casually or on short-term contracts, and redundancies actually happen quite regularly. And we know now that it's quite rare for someone to stay in the same workplace for more than a decade. So in many ways, the security that our jobs used to provide for us, that has pretty much flipped entirely now. It used to be that you would develop a relationship with a financial institution as well, and that you would develop this track record in servicing a loan that would almost guarantee that when you went back to that bank, they would be happy to provide more money for you when required. And that this would form some sort of kind of security for you and your family. Now the banks very much operate in a market economy, don't they? Where history means very little, and it means it's really all about risk and profit and how you fit into those two criteria. And for you and I, from our end also, there's actually not much security there because we just run after the best deal that we can get, and when another one comes along, we'll move across to that one as well. So in many ways, banks or financial institutions are not seen as secure an institution or an organisation that they once were. Sorry to all the bankers that are here today. Of course, the other place that has been our main source of security has been with close friendships and relationships. And in a world where we communicate and technology has advanced enormously over the past two decades, we find that this rapid change can also be very unsettling with our relationships and even cause high levels of insecurity for some people. In relation to how we engage in that space or how we choose not to engage in that space. Both of those ends of the spectrum cause insecurity for people. Now, I don't want to overstate this too much and become like Tim Keller, where it's all just doom and gloom, because I know that much of life is just as uncertain and just as fragile as it was 40 or 50 years ago. But the difference now, isn't it, is that we have so much information at our fingertips. We have so much information just coming through our news feed that we're actually aware of all these things that are changing and happening around us in the world. And this creates this feeling of being insecure or less secure than maybe we remember a few decades ago, if you're as old as me. So we find ourselves in that scenario, constantly running and trying to keep up with this changing world that we live in, with that changing workplace and those changing markets and changes in how we communicate with one another, and even changes in the amount of choices that we have that we're provided with and choices that we have to make on schooling and sport and extracurricular activities. Even those things can cause some insecurity. You know, have I made the right decision for little Johnny, even though I don't have a little Johnny? Have we made the right decision amongst all those choices? And look at the choice our neighbours are making for their little Jasmine or Johnny. We realise amongst all of this that what we really long for is something we can base our lives on that isn't going to change from day to day. Something that is unchanging. Some things in our life that we can actually look to or return to or operate from that are certain and that aren't going to shift or be shaken from one day to the next. See, we actually joke, don't we, about pressing the pause button. Who uses that one? I wish I could just press the pause button when I'm on the beach at Noosa. I wish I could press the pause button when I'm fishing off Little Wobby Beach yesterday, just sitting in the sun. Because the next hour in that scenario is very certain. I'm just going to sit there and enjoy the sunshine, and I haven't got a care in the world, particularly if I turn off the phone. We end up in those places where we just want to stop and pause things for just a moment. Just halt everything that's going on around us, thinking at that little moment, that little window that we're in, that this is as good as it gets and things are pretty certain right now. And if I just ignore everything that's happening around me in the world, then I can feel some sense of security. But at the same time, we're asking, we're wondering, surely there's a place. Surely there's something more than just escaping reality or flying to a deserted island or tapping out from everything going on around us so we can just come up for a breath. There has to be another way for us to live where we can find security that's not going to be fleeting or temporary or precarious. And I believe in today's psalm, David actually invites us to such a place. I believe he invites us to a place that is unchanging and that is sure and that he says cannot be shaken. So come with me as we see what David has to say about this. And I'm just going to put up the verses just in three sections as we move through this very quickly today. And from verse 1, he says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. And those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations, offerings, or sacrifices of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips." See, what's David doing here? What he's doing is he's remembering God's faithfulness in his life, isn't he? Verse 1, he's naming where he's found his security in the past. Verse 2, he's naming who has cared for him and his needs. Verse 3, how he was encouraged and upheld by other people of faith. And in verse 4, how his worship of God has protected him from undue suffering that he's seen others endure. See, David is recalling and proclaiming that in all these things, as he considers his life and he looks around and he looks back and he looks forward, that it is God who has been the one thing that has been consistent and who has been faithful and who is unchanging. And for this provides for him assurance and, if we think about our theme for today, a sense of security. And it's good for us to reflect also on, in the same way, where have we seen God's faithfulness at work in our lives as we think back during our time as a follower of Jesus? Where can we see those times where we've seen God's hand at work, the faithful one? Through seasons where maybe they've been challenging for us, but also through seasons where we can recognize God's blessing upon our lives. It's good for us to reflect. Where are we able to name God's faithfulness, similar to what David is doing here? But I want to point out, just before we move on, something important here, and just help you to notice that David identifies God's faithfulness in things that were beyond his personal circumstances. This is really important to notice. See, for David, it just wasn't about the answered prayer for the job that he was applying for, King of Israel. It just wasn't about, that he would have health in his close relationships. It wasn't that God would provide for him a parking spot outside Coles or IGA, you know, really near to the entrance to the store for his horse and carriage. Now, I'm saying we should stop praying for all those things, maybe pass on the parking spot, but because I believe wholeheartedly that God is interested in every detail of our lives. But for David, the faithfulness of God was based on a few much bigger demonstrations of God's love and God's goodness. So I just want to highlight these very quickly for you. We've already touched on them just quickly, but firstly, God's faithfulness for David was about knowing he was safe to approach and to be with God. This is the starting point for David. This is his God who is loving and who is compassionate and who is merciful. And for David and for us, it actually has to start in that place. Because if we don't believe that God is for us, and if we believe that God is still angry at us, and if we believe that God is out to get us, and if we believe that God is just all about judgment and not about grace, then that is a God who is not safe and who is certainly not going to provide security for us. So for David, this was a big, big thing, that despite his failings and his downfalls, that in his heart he's deeply aware of God's love and God's grace towards him, and that in God he really does have a safe place and a refuge that he can go to. So this is the first thing. Secondly, David points towards the community of faith. He talks about the noble ones, God's holy people, who provide for him, another reminder of God's faithfulness, but also a community who provide for him security. Interesting, I think this is, that the community of faith, we together, your life group, those close Christian friends that you journey with, you can actually provide a reminder, an assurance of God's faithfulness, and even a sense of security for one another. So that's the second one. And thirdly, David points to true and proper worship as something that guards and protects him from suffering. And in that, God is once again faithful. I think this here is about the disappointment that comes from pursuing idols and false gods in our lives. And by worshipping God, David said, he avoids just all of that pain and all of that heartache that's involved in false worship. So for David, these big things are the pillars for what he looks to as he outlines God's faithfulness, and as he outlines that because of these things we can come to him and find real and lasting security. They're big, they're unchanging, and they're solid ground that he can stand on. And the challenge for us is whether we, like David, have identified those things, that the faithfulness of God, in the same way, and whether we have made God as the central core of our certainty. So I want to ask you this morning, and we've already prayed about this, and now we consider this issue, where do you actually go looking for security? What are those things that are your go-tos for comfort or for escape or for certainty that again and again you find are just fleeting? And you can't answer chocolate. You don't have to answer at all, actually, but I just want to challenge you on that. Where do we go when we look for that security that we long for? You see, if we keep looking for security in those things that are just fleeting and those things that we know will eventually fail us, then we keep coming back, don't we, to that place of uncertainty and insecurity again and again and again. But as we increasingly put our faith in the one who is faithful and make the faithfulness of God the central core in our lives, then we have a place to return to that is secure and that is trustworthy and, as David says, cannot be shaken. So here David reminds us that God's faithfulness is the place that we can come to find real security. And through prayer, this is what he does. He invites us to do this exchange, actually, with God through prayer. He invites us to exchange that which is fleeting for that which is faithful, or rather for the one who is faithful. To lay down those things which are temporary or precarious, or to stop putting our faith in those things alone, and to look to the one who is faithful always. And he invites us to do this in our hearts through this act of prayer. But David also knows that it's not just enough to know and declare God's faithfulness, that we actually need to go one step further. And this is because our relationship with God is always reciprocal, isn't it? It's always two-way. It's always in relationship. So next, he actually demonstrates what it means for us to respond to God's faithfulness, to put our trust in him. Listen to the cry in verses 5 to 8. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me Even at night, my heart instructs me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So here David again declares his trust in God as the central core of his security. And in doing so, he reminds us that God, as I said, is relational. And that the security we have in him, of course, is based on his faithfulness, but it also involves our faith and trust in him. And in that place of responding in faith and in trust, once again, David undertakes this exchange of uncertainty for certainty and insecurity for security. And what he actually exchanges here is his own trying and living in his own strength, if you like, for a posture of trust. Trusting in this one who is faithful. And we can see this exchange. It involves for David a few things, if I point them out as we go through here. In verse 5, he lays down his ambitions. In verses 6 and 7, it involves trusting God as the one that he's going to look to for guidance and for counsel. And in verse 8, it leads to a revelation that this is actually going to bring stability to my life as I put my trust in the faithful one. This is going to bring me to a place where, despite whatever's going on around me, that I cannot be shaken. What's he doing here? Well, he's saying, Yahweh is indeed my portion and my cup. He is the one in whom I'm going to trust. And I love what David's doing here because he's getting to that point that we all need to get to where he says, I'm actually done with trying. I'm actually done with trying to manufacture my own little oasis of security. I'm actually going to exchange all of that running and striving and grasping after security and other things. And I'm going to trust in the one who is unchanging and who is certain and who is faithful. It's kind of a place of despair, actually. But it's also the place where we call out in prayer and we do this exchange that I've been talking about. Where through prayer, we actually move from trying on our own to trusting God. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about the prayers that I pray almost constantly, actually, as I seek rest and peace as a parent to our three children. But this applies to everything that you and I pray about, doesn't it? As we pray to God, we actually let go and we relinquish our own independence, which actually has a downside, doesn't it? We can be independent, but we also become quite isolated. We also are quite lonely in that place. There's also a lot of insecurity in independence. And we exchange that for dependence and trust in the faithfulness of God. And as we do that, we move to a place where we don't need to keep trying to figure things out in our own strength, because in that place, we find this security that we desire. So we lean into God's faithfulness and we put our trust in him. And in these final three verses, we discover where this lands David, and hopefully you also. It lands him in a place where he actually knows the presence of God. Listen to how he describes this. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Hear that? He is faithful. Nor will you let your faithful one decay. He can be trusted. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You just get a sense here that as we do in many occasions through the Psalms, and we hear David's cries and David's prayers, that David is actually face to face with God. That he actually experiences this intimacy with God and this presence of God in his life that grows into certainty that God is never going to let him go. God is never going to give up on him. That God is never going to abandon him. See, for him, God's presence is so real that he says he's no longer shaken by every little thing that comes along in his life. And I'm sure for David, there was many, many things that would come along. And rather than uncertainty and insecurity and the panic that can set in through insecurity, that panic that can overtake us, that we missed a cue, that we didn't book something we should have booked, that we didn't get this for our kid that everyone else has got, or we didn't take that job offer, or we did take that job offer, or whatever it is, that in that panic, we can exchange that actually for God's presence. We can exchange that for a joy that can be known and experienced as David did in the presence of God. And this is the exchange that David has undertaken. A prayer, says David, that allows him to rest secure. He's arrived there. And he invites us also to arrive at that place of security. I just love how prayer does this. I just love how prayer, think about our HSC students over the last couple of weeks. We got to pray with our Rachel because she actually did one HSC subject that she's now finished. We got to pray with her on Friday morning and just see how God's presence was able to give her confidence as she went into that exam. I just love how prayer changes that difficult conversation that you have with someone, because the presence of God is now with them and also with you. So as you exchange words, there's grace and there's peace between you. And we feel more secure when that presence is there, don't we? I just love how as we face health and financial and parenting and marriage or other issues in our life, that with God's presence with us, that all of those scenarios and situations can be transformed. The same thing may play out, but we have God's presence with us, don't we? And we feel security in that place. See, David calls this the path of life. He says it's what we're actually longing for and searching for, whether we know it or not. And again, referencing Tim Keller, this time a little bit more positive, he's had his hug. He says, David cries out, as we all cry out, for something lasting, something we cannot lose. And what he finds is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is what the prayer for security does. It invites us to stand arm in arm with the Almighty One, the Creator of heaven and earth, and to face life head on, whatever life is throwing at us. And this is the kingdom that God has invited us to participate in, both now and, he says, forevermore. To find solace and security for our hearts as we stand with God's presence in that place. Patch Adams puts it another way, and from one of my favourite movies, he says, all of life is a coming home. Salespeople, secretaries, coal miners, beekeepers, sword swallowers, all of us, all the restless hearts of the world, we're all trying to find a way home. I believe David shows us that way home today in his prayer for security. He says, remember God's faithfulness. Don't forget. Remember his unending love for you. He says, put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in those things that are fleeting. Put your faith and your trust in the one who doesn't change. And as we know his presence in our lives through all ups and downs and all the good and the not so good, we find a place, a foundation for life that actually becomes a central core of security for us. This is the prayer for security. So as we close today, I just want to invite you to join with me in praying this prayer for security right now, that that we might know this security in our spirits as God's presence comes near. Just pray with me now. This prayer begins, "Keep me safe, Lord. Keep me safe, Lord, for in you I find refuge." So in this moment, I just want to encourage you to bring to God all those things that have been causing you insecurity and uncertainty. Maybe some of those things have come to mind as I've been sharing today. Those things that have been trying for you recently. And just to invite God now to be present with you in that place. In all that you face this day and this week ahead and this year to come, that you might find this central core of security that you can hold on to and you can go back to and that you know will be there. This place where God is both your cup and your portion in all of life.